Some calm returns to financial markets even with the Ukrainian crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Here is what is calming financial markets today. Reports that Russian officials have ordered soldiers near Ukraine's eastern border to quit their military exercises and head back to base. The ruble is up 0.9% against the U.S. dollar, and the Russian stock market is up 5.1%. More numbers in a moment. Now that U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has arrived for talks in Ukraine's capital, Kiev, just now, there's news the U.S. is offering $1 billion to help Ukraine pay its energy bills. Russia's state-owned natural gas company Gazprom said earlier today it's canceling discounts on gas that it sells the Ukrainians. European countries are signaling they are leery about sanctions on Russia that will affect business and markets. However, the New York Times is reporting that Washington is considering, at least, sanctions on senior Russian officials. The question is how much economic leverage the U.S. has. Sally Herships reports.
For a country the size of Russia, the U.S. imports relatively little. That's according to Jay Bryson, a global economist with Wells Fargo Securities.
The numbers that we're talking here are really, really small.
About $30 billion worth of goods, which Bryson says represents less than 1% of Russia's economy.
The size of the economy like Russia's, you know, it's pretty much chump change. It's just not going to have a whole bunch influence on them.
I mean, we're not buying arms from the Russians, and we're not buying oil and gas from the Russians.
Which is Russia's largest export. Andy Cutchins is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He says the U.S. does buy a relatively tiny amount of metals and other natural resources, but he agrees, not enough to be a persuasive customer. He says Russia's stock exchange has dropped 10% so far, much more powerful and effective than anything the U.S. can do with sanctions. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers as the diplomacy plays out. The FT100 in London is up 1.5%. The DAX in Germany is up 2.3%. S&P Dow and NASDAQ futures are all up about 1%. There is less flight to safety toward bonds this morning, so the 10-year Treasury yield is up to 2.65%. When President Obama releases his 2015 budget proposal today, he's expected to include a call for $56 billion in new spending. Part of that would increase pre-kindergarten and Head Start programs by tying their budgets to increases in defense spending. Kate Davidson has more.
The president is trying to get Republicans to sign off on more early childhood spending by bundling it with more money for defense. Claire McCann is with the New America Foundation's Education Policy Program. She says it's kind of like this.
Oh, if we give everyone a little bit of skin in the game, everyone will play ball.
But just yesterday, House Budget Chair Paul Ryan released a very long and not so flattering report on federal anti-poverty programs like Head Start.
So it doesn't seem likely that the House is going to want to play ball, at the very least.
As for the president's preschool for all vision, Ron Haskins of the Brookings Institution says there are Republican governors interested in expanding preschool programs.
But the preschool proposal the president made last year has not gotten any legs among Republicans in Washington.
The administration says it will pay for these initiatives by closing tax loopholes and cutting other spending. But Haskins says one person's tax loophole is another's tax hike. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
The Federal Reserve System sometimes gives the impression that it flies at 37,000 feet over the economy. But in New England, the Fed has recently been spotted with its feet on the ground, coordinating a program to funnel grants to help fix some distressed cities in Massachusetts. It's called the Working Cities Challenge, and Eric Rosengren, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, is a key player. Dr. Rosengren, good morning.
Good morning.
Give me a sense of how this program works in practice.
This is a competition of 20 cities in Massachusetts, all of whom have higher poverty rates and lower average family income. And the goal was to come up with a strategy in each of these cities where they could have a unified vision. Not only was the local government involved, but the nonprofit sector was involved and the private sector was involved, around a way to try to transform what's been happening in some of these older mill cities.
I was looking at Lawrence, Massachusetts. I think they got $700,000 in one of the competitions here. They're focusing it in part on the school system, it looks like.
Lawrence has a very innovative idea. Parents are dropping their kids off for school and picking their kids up. And so the idea is that if the family's having problems, either somebody's unemployed, there's abusive situations or other types of social services that might need to be provided to that family, that the best opportunity to do that is to actually work with the family around the time that they're either dropping off or picking up the children. And I think the proposal is very exciting, but I think also the leadership in the city are very excited about a chance to rejuvenate the city that they have.
So it's the people on the ground who've really rolled up their sleeves and are working on these issues. But here's my question. Why has it fallen on the Fed to coordinate some of this stuff?
So there are two real strengths of a reserve bank and the Federal Reserve System. We're pretty good at convening groups and getting groups to come together. And we're very good at doing research and analytical work. And this is really the nexus of those two things. We're trying to use some of the intellectual work that we've done, but at the same time use our convening powers to try to get a better story out of some of the cities that have not succeeded in the way we would hope they would.
Eric Rosengren is president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. Dr. Rosengren, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And Radio Shack stock is down 21% in pre-market trading now. The company says sales are down 19% and that it plans to close 1,100 Radio Shack stores, which I calculate to be about 1 out of 5. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.